You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Wednesday's racing, or what's left of it. We still have action from Wolverhampton and Newcastle, hopefully on their all-weather surfaces. No jumping, the cold snap has got rid of that. Market Razor, Musselburgh and Wincanton abandoned, but still racing to go at. We're live from 2:05pm with Alex Dunn, Ollie Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Do join the guys. Right now, my name is Mark Walton, joined in the studio by Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy? Are you keeping warm? Are you keeping out of the cold?
Whoa. Hey, I'm fantastic. I'm just confused.com. It's Tuesday.
It is.
What am I doing in Studio 47 on a Tuesday?
You're never here on a Tuesday.
Never here on a Tuesday. But anyway, I'm here, so it's all good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah?
Yeah. The beast from the east. He's been a bit of a nuisance, isn't he?
He is. He's been a real pain.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, putting paid to the jumps action for the next day or two at least. Hopefully it won't have an effect on Cheltenham, because this is now getting pretty close to Cheltenham. They're going to have the covers on the course.
What? What's coming up?
the thing called the Cheltenham Festival, you heard of that?
I've heard murmurings about it.
Murmurings, okay.
Yeah.
You know, the ground's going to have to be covered, isn't it, to get this snow off the track. That's going to... Do you think we're going to have a quick surface because of that, or is it going to sweat a little bit, or is it going to be soft, you know?
No, as far as I'm aware, they have to provide good to soft ground on the opening day of the Cheltenham Festival. So if he has to put the taps on, he'll have to put the taps on. But with the weather we've had, you know, it's been such a wet winter, I can't see there being any issues at all. I mean, more than likely, I'm thinking we're going to get some fantastic jumping ground at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be worried about it at all.
Good.
Yeah, no worries there.
You've eased my fears there, Pimmy.
Oh, don't you worry. Trust me, I'm a groundsman.
On the subject of the Cheltenham Festival, we've got a bit of news from Willie Mullins, which is always nice. He doesn't give that much away on a lot of occasions, but he has said that Duvan is now 50-50 to race in the champion chase, which would give us that mouth-watering clash with Altior, potentially Min. Another Willie Mullins inmate, also towards the top end of the market there. Politolog, who's won some good races en route to that race this year. It's warming up to be a good champion chase if they all turn up. He's 9-2 at the moment, Duvan. If he went to Cheltenham without a prep run, basically, would you still give him a chance of holding or putting it up to Altior there?
Well, I just want to quote you this. Not so long ago, we're being told we couldn't train him for a year. But within a week or 10 days, he was sound. Mm. Now, that actually got alarm bells ringing for me, to be honest. And to get there without a run against the likes of Altior and Politico, you know, this is a championship race. You can't go there 95%. And I couldn't see it happening for Duvan, as much as I'd love to see it happen for him. You know, he's obviously had a troubled session to get there, and again, you know, they've done well to get him up and running. Again, it says he's got to do a few more bits of good work prior to the festival. He's got to come out of those unscathed as well. So if I was a Duvan fan, and obviously we've got non-runner insurance here at William Hill,
yes,
but I would be sitting tight personally and just seeing if he makes it rather than backing him now, even with the non-runner insurance sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, I suppose the one thing with that non-runner insurance is if he's 9-2 now, and then on the day of the Queen Mother Champion Chase, there's a lot of positive noises about him. He's working the house down and all that.
You might miss that, yeah.
He could shorten, and if he's not right, they won't run him, would they? So, or you wouldn't think so.
Oh, listen, if he's not 100%, they won't run him, that is for sure. I mean, they're a top organisation for that sort of thing. But I just think there's just too many little question marks over his preparation, you know. Mm. But again, he's in the right hand, so that's obviously a Brucey bonus for Duvan, and if you're a Duvan supporter. But really and truly, I know he's 8-11 with us, but at this moment in time, Altior, you're stealing money.
It looks it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He was very good on his comeback, wasn't he?
So. Oh, absolutely brilliant. Mm. Brilliant, yeah.
Altior then, still definitely the one to beat in the Queen Mother Champion Chase, in Pimmy's opinion. The Champion Hurdle, we have a very short price favourite as well. Bouvardaire, 4-9 at the top of the market. Fauhine, 11-2. Another Willie Mullins runner that hasn't gone to plan this year.
Yeah.
My Tent Ayors, 10-1. York Hill, 12-1. Noises from the Mullins camp that York Hill will actually go Champion Hurdle now. It's then 16s for Mellon and Wicklow Brave, 20-1 for Elgin and Min. And 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. Can York Hill mix it with Bouvardaire and the like in the Champion Hurdle if that's the way he goes?
Well, they've tried to make him into a Gold Cup horse and that didn't work. He's not quite the same horse as he is over fences as he is over hurdles, and so listen, take Bouvardaire out, and your second favourite would be My Ten to Yours. Well, he's getting as old as you and I is, that fella, to be winning a Champion Hurdle, isn't he?
He's got a great record in the race, though, runner-up in it, hasn't he?
Oh, he's a fantastic record, but he's never won it.
No.
You know, he's not going to win it now at his time of life, that's for sure. So, you know, I think that with Bouvardaire out the race, and we can bat without Bouvardaire in the race here at Hills, can't we?
Yes, we can. That's on the site now.
Okay.
14-7-4 in that market. 7-2, My Tent are yours. Mellon, 5-1 with York Hill. 6-1 Min, 8-1 or bigger for the others. That is a fifth of the odds, 1, 2 and 3. So effectively, if Bouvardaire goes and wins the race as expected, you'd need your selection in this market to finish second, third or fourth.
Yeah, well, I think that's not a bad market to be looking at, to be perfectly honest. I think that's quite an interesting market. And I can see where you're coming from now if you're wanting a little bit of a punt. 5-1 York Hill wouldn't be too bad, would it?
No.
You know, because he's held in high regard. But again, just things haven't panned out for him as you'd like to do in his preparation for the big one. But, you know, as I say, with the camp that he's in, you've half a chance, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, 5-1 in that market, if he comes second to Bouvardaire, you'd get paid out 5-1. If he finishes third or fourth in that scenario, you get your money back, wouldn't you? Because it's fifth of the odds. So
yeah, that would be fair play. But, I mean, Bouvardaire, should we have an odds-on shot in the Champion Hurdle? Not necessarily. You might be able to get that up and tell me the last time we had an odds-on winner of the Champion Hurdle, Mark. That would be an interesting one.
Let's have a look. Let's see if we can...
It's amazing, that gongle, isn't it, where you can get up on it?
That gongle.
Gongle it every time.
Yeah. Champion Hurdle winners. Let's have a look.
4-5. Fahine.
Yes. Who's back in the rest of the year, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had some favourites win, but none are that short. Got to go back to Istrabak.
Yeah.
In 2000, when he was 8-15 shot, and prior to that, in the 4-9. So, it's a great that's been odds on. A legend that's been odds on. Could we put Bouvardaire in that same category as the great Istrabak?
Well, he wears the same colours.
Helps. Helps.
Yeah, he would become a back-to-back winner of the Champion Hurdle, which doesn't happen. There are multiple winners of the race, but, you know, Istrabak, Hardy Eustace, those horses won it back-to-back. See You Then won it a few times, of course, as well. He only went off odds on once.
Yeah, so, yeah. And 5-6 are not massively odds on either.
No.
But yeah, there we go.
Does that show that the weakness in the Champion Hurdle this time around,
I think,
rather than the strength of Bouvardaire?
Well, I'm only using My Ten to Yours as the marker.
Yeah.
For him to be so high in the betting tells its own story, that you know, there's no real strength in depth. Having said that, you try and win it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's not quite as straightforward as we make it out to be.
I think,
as the betting suggests.
I think My Ten to Yours is a great bet without the favourite, because he's finished second to Bouvardaire last year, finished second in the race, I think, in the past. He won at Cheltenham in the International Hurdle on his reappearance. That's the first ever time he's won at Cheltenham, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But he does settle much better in his races now. He was always too keen, wasn't he?
He was.
And I think maybe if the race falls apart a little bit behind Bouvardaire, he'll be there coming up that hill as he always does, running into second place. But
yeah. Yeah. It'd be a lovely story, but...
He's getting on, yeah.
I'm not sure that's going to work.
I get the point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's leave that there. Plenty more Cheltenham chat on the way to the festival, of course. Don't forget, non-runner insurance live here with William Hill on every single Cheltenham Festival race. Every race, no matter what horse and no matter what stake, you get your money back in cash if that horse doesn't make it to the Cheltenham Festival at all. couple of good races coming up this weekend. A couple of races that we're sponsoring here at William Hill as well. So just want to get your thoughts on those whilst we're at it, Pimmy. At Doncaster, we've got the William Hill Grimthorpe Handicap Chase, which is a stepping stone to the Grand National in the past. And Big Bad John is the 9-2 favourite at the moment with us. Wakanda is 7-1 with Warrior's Tale. Also 7-1 for What's His Name. Beware the Bear 8-1. I Just Know is 8-1. 10-1 for Vicente and What Happens Now. And 12-1 are bigger prices for the remainder. What are your early thoughts on the big race at Tony this weekend?
I thought, basically, it's an absolute smasher of a race, isn't it? Mm. Certainly a realistic trial for the Grand National. We've shown plenty of good horses have to win it in the past as well. And certainly, again, it's going to be a good horse that takes the prize this coming weekend, obviously, weather permitting. Big Bad Bob came good, or even Big Bad John came good last time out for the Twist and Davis team. And that was at Kempton when he beat Brandon Hill by a length. That form was pretty solid. And again, he's one of the few that really comes into the race on the back of that, you know, confidence-boosting win. What's His Name? Well, he's been in great form of late for Harry Fry. He certainly would be a player having won a last time out. That was here at Donny. So he's a course and distance winner. Oh, no, actually, it was 3 miles that he won over last time. 3 mile to the trip on Saturday. But again, he's a real nice horse at What's His Name from the Harry Fry Yard. And the other horse that I thought could be interesting as well, who slightly disappointed when he unseated last time out at Chepstow, was Vicente. But forgive him that run. His debut run this season was pretty good. And again, he could well become a player. Vicente, who possibly at 10-1 gives you a little bit of an each-way slant. And obviously, Wakanda, Sue Smith's runner. Well, you can never leave her horses out of these staying chases. And again, he came good last time out, Wakanda, when again, he won here at Donny, beating Warrior's Tale and sure to be a player.
Yeah, those two, 7-1 respectively, Wakanda and Warrior's Tale, they meet again. If they both turn up at Doncaster at the weekend, if you were to have a little stab at it now, what would you go with?
If I had a little stab now, I'm going to go each way, Vicente.
Yeah, 10-1 for Vicente, that's the pick for Pimmy then. And make sure you tune into William Hill Racing Radio this week as well, because we're giving you the chance to get to Doncaster courtesy of William Hill. We're giving away free tickets on the show. There's competitions running through until Thursday, so do tune in and get involved with that competition. Obviously, this goes out on Tuesday night and Wednesday, so you'll have Wednesday and Thursday to get involved and win yourself a pair of tickets to Doncaster for the William Hill Grimthorpe match.
I'll be listening for that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind a couple of tickets to Donny on Saturday. Yeah.
You have to email in under a pseudonym.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I won't tell them it's me, will
I? No, of course.
I can't email. That's the only thing. I have to get somebody to do it for me.
Yeah.
Studio at williamhill.co.uk, though, isn't it?
It is. It is. That's you're correct. One. Correct.
Yeah.
Good. We've also got a sponsorship at Newbury as well. The William Hill Supporting Greatwood Gold Cup Handicap. It's a Grade 3 handicap chase, that is. It's a Grade 3 where Warrior's Tale also entered there, 11-2 favourite for that particular market. Creep de Bois is 13-2, 7-1 for Remyuk. It's 8-1 for Calmore Lock and Mercy and Prince. 9-1, 3 Musketeers. Cold March, 10-1, that'd be a relevant winner, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just?
Maracuja, 10-1. Thomas Crapper, 10-1, who I believe won the race last year. And 11-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. Early thoughts for the Newbury race?
Very, very competitive, as you'd imagine, and as the market suggests there. Obviously, we've got to decide where Warrior Tales goes. And again, you wouldn't know whether Paul Nicholls wants to take on the favourite at Doncaster, having got beaten by him last time out. So it could be interesting that he goes more than likely down to Newbury, and he could be interested. But I thought a couple of that I would take against the field here were Kyle Moore Locke, who, again, you know, ran really well in defeat for the Harry Fry Yard last time out. That was behind Cassie Tett at Warwick, over 2.5 miles. Similar sort of trip at the weekend. And the other one I thought that could be interesting is that one you've just said, Cold March.
Mm.
I mean, a very topical runner indeed. He ran plenty well enough when he finished third or sixth behind Boyd at Taunton last time out. Like Harry Fry as a trainer. And again, he could well run well on Saturday. And it's not Harry Fry. It's actually Harry Whittington.
Mm. I was doing that
got
right.
Mixed up with me Harrys. You've never got mixed up with Harry.
You know what I mean, Harry.
That's the one, Harry.
That's another one.
But Cold March, I think, again, 42 days, a nice little break from that debut run of the season. Think he might just run a big, big race for us. So two against the field, if I make. Yeah?
Yep.
Calmore Lock, Cold March.
Cold March has got to win, hasn't it? It's like party politics in the National all those years ago. It's just got to win.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. But stranger things have happened. And again, we're in the laps of that beast from the east, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Because he's bringing snow, rain, minus whatever temperatures.
Cold.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's a little glance towards the weekend. Hopefully we'll get action taking place there over the obstacles. Unfortunately, on Wednesday, but we do still have racing going on, all-weather racing, of course.
Oh, thank goodness for that artificial surface.
This is where it comes into its own, isn't it?
Oh, blooming heck. Whoever came up with that invention, eh?
Hey.
Brilliant.
We're going to go to Wolverhampton and Newcastle, therefore, and we're going to go through these in time order. A couple of races, one at each venue. The 4:25 at Wolverhampton is the first of them. It's a 6-furlong sprint handicap. We've got a field of 8 set to go to post for this one, Pimmy, so there could be a nice each-way shape to the race as well. But I do imagine Nautical Haven will be quite short towards the top end of the market, and he's one of those horses that just keeps finishing second. Puts a lot of people off that. What are your thoughts on Nautical Haven?
Yeah, he does keep finishing second. But again, I watched him when he ran in defeat last time out behind Reckless Endeavour. I certainly thought that he ran to the line. I didn't think he shirked the issue. I didn't think he thought, well, you know, second best is good enough for me. He's got the pieces on for the first time tomorrow afternoon as well. My slight concern is that his only success has come on the turf. And although he's been running really well on the artificial surface, he just hasn't quite managed to get his head in front. And that would be my slight concern with him there. I think it was at York when he won on the turf.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I mean, obviously, that'll have been a competitive race at York that he won that maiden. He possibly, again, hasn't progressed from there overly much. But, again, I think we've got to try and be a little bit understanding and caring for him and give him an opportunity to get his head in front. Obviously, some interesting players there. Upavon, I think he's just changed hands recently. He's more likely on his first run for the Tony Carroll Yard tomorrow afternoon. And then you've got Espresso Freddo, who at least has won in the not-too-distant past. Espresso Freddo. He's trained by Robert Stevens. Callum Shepherd takes a valuable £3 off his back. And he was a nice winner at Chelmsford, winning by half a length from Kane Star. And again, there could be a little bit more to come from that fella. As I say, at least he knows how to get his head in front. A lot of these haven't done that for A, never, or B, a long time.
Mm.
But I'm going to keep the faith. I'm looking for a Nautical Haven.
Nautical Haven, the pick for Pimmy then. First time cheek piece as well. So if there are any question marks about the resolution, although you know you don't think there are, that might just straighten him out a little bit as well, help him concentrate a little bit more. So
exactly, yeah, positive. Yeah. Just work the oracle just to keep him focused, as they say.
Yeah. We'll have to get you a pair of cheek pieces for the radio, Pimmy.
Oh, wouldn't you just? Goodness gracious.
Keep you focused.
Keep me off that front line, won't you? Dear, oh dear, yes.
Yeah. Let's go to Newcastle then for Pimmy's other selection. This is in the 6:15, a Class 5 handicap. This one over 5 furlongs. So another sprint to go out here, Pimmy. Again, a field of 8. What's got your eye in there?
Very, very confident here. Big lackey for the David Mark Loughnane Yard. Midge Mullen takes the mount. He ran really well in defeat, this fella, last time out when he finished third. His course and distance win came here, the penultimate run, and I think there's more to offer from him. Johnny Cavigan dropping down to 5, usually fluffs his lines at the start. He's down to a handicap mark of 70 where he should be a player, but I just feel over the 5, if he misses the break, then he's going to be on the back foot.
Yep.
Spirit of Zebedee finished behind Big Lackey last time out. He's not really found his form at all of late, that fella. And although Hadley ran well enough in defeat when finishing behind Highly Focused last time out, again, I think he might be found wanting tomorrow afternoon or even tomorrow evening. So, very confident in the shape of Big Lackey.
Confident pick then, Big Lackey for Pimmy in that 6:15 at Newcastle. That goes along with his selection in the 4:25, which was Nautical Haven. Bit of pleasure as always, Pimmy.
My pleasure.
That's the thoughts of Chris Pimlott then on the action coming up on Wednesday. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. with Alex Dunn, Ollie Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Wolverhampton and Newcastle should be the meetings taking place on Wednesday, so do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.